Good morning. Just wanted to say how much I enjoy your podcast. I am a tech enthusiast and Pixel fan. I have both the Pixel 3 XL and I have the Pixel Book. So I really enjoy how you show us on your podcast how to best take advantage of our devices. Also, I'm really excited for the next episode. I am thinking you're going to tackle the Chrome OS flags. That's what I'm hoping. So I guess we'll see.
And Joanna, you think right, because on this episode, which is episode 30 of the Pixel Power Podcast, we are in fact going to talk about flags for Chrome OS. Thank you so much, Joanna, for leaving a voicemail message on the Anchor app. It's much appreciated. It's great to know that somebody out there is actually listening and actually wishing for a future episode. Again, thank you for your comments. So let's dive into this episode and talk a little bit about flags for Chrome OS. We did take a little bit of a break last week, but if you remember the week prior, we actually looked at Chrome browser flags. And this week we will focus on the flags that will not only affect the Chrome browser on Chrome OS, and this gets really difficult when I start going back between Chrome OS and Chrome browser, so hopefully I won't mess this up too much, but we're also going to be looking at flags that will enhance or add new features to Chrome OS. Some of them are pretty exciting. I have one I'm really fond of that I'll share right at front. I should remind you that I am sharing flags that are found in the current beta channel, which for me is Chrome OS version 77. I also want to point out, if you go to the show notes, I have an image that shows you how I have a bookmark created to the Chrome flags. Because I live on the Chrome flags page quite a bit, I do have a bookmark saved, but I'd encourage you to go look at those show notes and see what other kinds of utility bookmarks I've saved within my Chrome browser. I think some of you may find those interested in. Maybe in a later episode, I'll actually talk about how I manage my bookmarks. Before I talk about flags for Chrome OS, I want to remind you of a few things that we talked about with regard to flags when we were talking about Chrome browser for Android flags. First of all, about flags, remember this is a separate page that gives you a long list with a lot of options. It can be overwhelming, so you want to try these flags probably one at a time before you commit, but do know that you can try a bunch of flags at once, and it's easy to go back and change those and turn them off. I also want to point out that flags may or may not become a part of future Chrome OS releases. Some of the features we show you may break or may become unavailable. That's because Google and its developers are using flags to try new features, to tweak new features. Doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be added to the OS later, but many of them we do hope that they are added because some of them are quite cool. If you remember during our last flags episode, you know that we simply enter chrome:// flags in our Omnibox or our address bar in our Chrome browser, and that will bring up a long list of flags that we can review. And you can scroll through those and read those descriptions. I would encourage you to go back to episode 30 to learn how to search for flags and enable and disable flags. It's really no different than what I showed you when talking about Chrome browser flags for Android. I do in the episode show notes for this episode show you specific screen images that are related to Chrome OS if you would like to see those. So there are some updates to the show notes that will help you navigate flags on Chrome OS. And one last reminder, if you mess up, it's okay because there's a reset all to default button clearly labeled on the flags page so that if things go awry and things aren't working the way you had hoped, it's simply a matter of clicking that button. Now, let's talk about my favorite flags for Chrome OS. And I'm going to start right up front with my absolute favorite flag. Before I do, as a reminder, I'm not going to list what every flag is. That would be a long and redundant show. It would be boring as all get out. And what I'm going to do is I'm simply going to list the title. If you'd like to know exactly what the link is to a flag, visit the show notes, again, a comprehensive show notes this week, and it will give you the information you need to turn on specific flags. And of course, you can search primarily for what I'm saying, and that should show up on the flags page. So the first one that I love is show previews of running apps when hovering over the shelf. Yes, that's the actual title. And what it does is, if you have an application running, scroll down, or not scroll down, but move your pointer down to the launcher, over the launcher icon, and it will reveal a thumbnail preview of the window that's open in the application. This is available on some other OSs like Windows and Mac with some changes. And what's really nice is, even if you have, say, a Chrome browser open and you have multiple windows, you roll over that launcher icon, it'll show you thumbnails of all of the open windows you have. It's useful. You can click, you can quickly move through those windows, which is nice. That's the first and favorite of my flags. I recommend you go turn that on immediately. The next one is enable Discover app. There's a little app inside the Chrome OS called the Discover app. If you turn this flag on, then you will find that when you use the launcher and search in the launcher for an app called Discover, there'll be an extra icon. When you load up the Discover app, it launches a window that gives you a quick way to show you your Chromebook offers that you have. It'll give you some tips and it'll provide some tricks for getting the most out of your Chrome OS device. So enable Discover app. The next one I always enable is something that actually tweaks our Bluetooth hardware. It's called the New Blue flag, and it improves compatibility with some Bluetooth devices. I will say, as a caveat, though, be very careful because it can also break other Bluetooth devices. So a good decision, or a good deciding factor about whether you want to enable New Blue, is, do you have a device you're having trouble with it remaining retaining a good connection, or you're having a problem discovering and pairing that device? Turn New Blue on. Again, let me say, if you're having problems discovering the device and New Blue is on, you may have to turn that off. Generally for me, it's working well, but as they say, your mileage may vary. The next one is actually one of those that was, by the time I got the show notes done, there was a new version of Chrome OS version 76 in the stable channel, and the enable virtual desktops was pushed forward a couple of releases, and it was now implemented into version 76. So you don't need to enable this flag. I'm going to leave it in there in case you're on version 75 and you just want to try it or some reason, but it was a favorite flag of mine. It activated virtual desks, and if you've not seen virtual desks, you have to check these out on version 76. If you want to see what I'm talking about, take three fingers, swipe up on your touchpad, and you'll find virtual desks, which are like an extra screens for your Chrome OS device. They work pretty well. They're missing a keyboard combination to switch between them. As soon as they get that, I sense my productivity will just go through the roof. This next series of flags really is useful only if you're using Crostini or Linux Beta on Chrome OS. And these are some flags that will enhance the capability of Linux on your Chrome OS device. So I'll just run through these quickly. First of all, there's the Crostini backup flag that will allow you to export and import your Crostini virtual machines. Very handy if you want to import or export a VM from one device to another one. Another one I found that was just amazing was the Crostini GPU support. When Linux Beta was released, there weren't the tweaks inside the operating system that let it take full advantage of the graphical processing unit within our Chromebooks. If we turn that on, that feature is now available. I saw a real significant increase in my 3D printer sliceware software called Cura. It's a 3D application that lets me view models in 3D before I print them. And the performance was just incredible on my Pixelbook. I have not tried it on my Pixel Slate yet, but I hope to do that soon. But it sure was a big improvement on my Pixelbook. Another one I've activated that I haven't really had a chance to play with, but I expect It will provide some additional capabilities as the Crostini USB support, and this will enable mounting of USB devices within Crostini. Crostini did not have USB support initially because as they developed the virtual machine, the Linux virtual machine, they wanted to provide some security. So they're slowly adding the ability to mount devices using the USB port, and slowly they're building that security in. But if you can't wait and don't want to wait for all the security to be built in, you can go activate USB support now. And then the next flag, you can activate Crostini USB allow unsupported device. So while the first flag, the previous flag I just mentioned, will give you specific rights to attach to devices that Google thinks are safe, if you enable the unsupported, then it's just all open, free open. And again, I've not played with these. I have noticed that most devices I am plugging in via Linux now are being recognized. A couple of the cameras I've tried still aren't working, USB cameras. They're recognized, but they're not working. So a lot more tweaking to go. But if you want to live on the edge in your Linux Crostini virtual machine, click on those four flags and have a blast. The next one is enable new print preview user interface layout or UI layout. If you go to print now, you'll notice that the user interface layout for printing just takes over the whole Chrome browser screen. This will enable a smaller screen. It's a little more svelte. It's got a few more options that are discoverable immediately. And I actually prefer this new preview UI layout, and I have activated on both my Pixelbook and my Pixel Slate. And as a plus, you can even activate this on your Chrome browser if you're on a Mac, Windows, or Linux machine. So it's a great addition. This next flag is one I really enjoy. It's the Omnibox tab switch suggestions. And again, this is one that got deprecated into version 77 or moved into version 77. 76, I don't think had it. But what it allows you to do is if you type in your Omnibox and you're typing the name of an open tab within the browser, you'll find an option that lets you quickly switch to that tab. So let's say you have 20 tabs open in your browser, and yes, I know you all are Pixel Power users, and that is a distinct possibility. You can, in the Omnibox, type the first couple of letters of the tab you're looking for, and you'll get an option to switch to that tab. It's very handy, especially if you have a lot of tabs open. So give that a shot. Again, it is standard now in Chrome OS 77, which is the beta channel. So it is a feature that has moved forward. Another one I really appreciate that has moved into OS 77, still may not be available in 76. I don't remember, but it is one I recommend you select, and that is the Omnibox Google Drive document suggestions. Very handy. You go to the Omnibox, you type in the name of a file in your Google Drive, it'll pop right up, select it, loads right up in your browser. Huge time saver, love it. And again, that is an option not only available for Chrome OS, but also for the Chrome browser versions for Mac, Windows, and Linux. If you want to really expand your search and to provide an ability to search within the Play Store for an application using your launcher, you can do that with the Enable Play Store Search flag. Check that one out. And if you need an application for Android to load on your Pixelbook or Pixel Slate or other Chrome OS device, you can search for it and it should pop up in the launcher as an option. Click it and it'll install that application. If you have a Chrome OS device or a Chromebook that the Google Assistant is yet to be activated, try the Enable Native Google Assistant flag. That should bring up the Google Assistant on your Chromebook and make that available to you. All of us with Pixelbooks and Pixel Slates, that should be available. But on other Chromebooks that I've worked with or for friends, if the Google Assistant isn't available, sometimes this is a way to kind of force their hand and get that Google Assistant open. Because when you have Google Assistant on your Pixelbook and your Pixel Slate or your other Chrome OS device, it is a productivity powerhouse. Probably one we should talk about in the future. This is one I'm not sure it's really helping, but I know I have a digital signal processor or DSP built into my Pixelbook and my Pixel Slate, and there's a flag that intrigued me. It's the Enable Google Assistant with hardware-based hot words. So what it's doing is it's using the DSP, the onboard DSP, to enhance the detection of hot words. Again, there's no way for me to really test it. I don't see a big difference, But, you know, if I know it's in there and I can turn it on, I just went ahead and turned it on. Maybe I'll notice some differences later as I continue to work with it. It is, I will say, a recent flag that I activated and noticed. I spent a lot of time in our last flag episode talking about send tab to self, which is another flag you can activate that lets you send a tab open in a browser on one device and broadcast that to your other devices. I am finding I use this thing regularly. As a matter of fact, I just used it this morning to send a link for a website I was researching for this episode from my phone. I found it on my phone while I was out and I said, "Woo, I want to read that later." And I sent it. And when I came back to my Pixelbook at home, there was a notification and it showed me what that site was. And I could simply click that notification and it popped up in my browser. Love that. I do talk extensively about this in episode 30. So if you're looking for more information about the send tab to self, either listen to the episode or at minimum, check out the show notes for episode 30. Some may not know it, but there is an enhanced user interface for the Google Password Manager, and you can enable that with the Google Password Manager flag. I recommend that. The manager, you still have the same features. It's just a little bit more material design, makes a little more sense. It's a little better looking, and I highly recommend that. Now, here's one that's not working, even on Chrome OS 77, but I am turning it on and I am waiting. It is the Enable App Management page. And this is a single page that will allow you to manage all of your applications. It will be available at chrome://apps. Again, I couldn't get it to work on Chrome OS Beta 77 on either the Pixelbook or the Pixel Slate. But Chrome Story, which is a wonderful website, I highly recommend them if you kind of want to know what's going on in the hardware world. Boy, that's hard to say. Check out their YouTube video. I have a link in the show notes so that you can go see. They are on, they have a device on the Canary channel and they can show you what that looks like. So I'm just going to push you over to them. When it's available, maybe we'll take a look at it here. Now, this next one is really interesting. It intrigued me, and I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or not. I find I really do like it, and it is pulling the assistant and the launcher together into a single tool. So, for instance, if you hit the Google search key, you'll get the launcher search. It'll pop up, and you can find some basic information. Or if you're on Pixelbook or Pixel Slate and you have that wonderful Google Assistant button, you can press that. You can bring up the assistant and you can use the assistant just like you always do use the assistant. But if you activate the Enable Assistant Launcher integration flag, the two are together and you can do some really interesting things when they're together. So a search or pressing the search button will bring up the launcher assistant amalgam. So those two combined, and it provides a very interesting way to use your Pixelbook and provides you a few more features right there in the search when you combine the two together that you didn't have before. So it's basically putting everything for search in a single location. This next flag is called Release Notes, and this is something we have wanted forever. You're going to find it in Chrome OS 77 when it comes down from the beta channel to the stable channel, but we finally have a page when we update to a new version of the Chrome OS operating system. It'll display a web page showing us everything that's new. It only took us 77 versions of the operating system to do this. Before, we had to go online, we had to go hunt down for what's new, we had people living in the code trying to figure out what was being released. Thank you, Google, for finally giving us a page for every major version that will pop up and tell us what's new with our OS so that we can discover these wonderful, great new features. And my final flag for this episode is one that I really like with one little caveat, and this is the split settings flag. And what it does is it finally splits out those operating settings from those browser settings. You know how when we go to settings, we get the options for our browser, we get options for our hardware, we get operations for our operating system, and they're all on a single page. This will finally split the settings so that when you pull up the settings for the browser, you get settings for the browser. And when you click on the settings in the launcher, you get the settings for the device and the operating system. It's brilliant. I love it. It gets rid of all the garbage when you're just looking. It makes it easier to find things. The only thing I'm not so sure about, I do not understand why Chrome OS updates that setting is still in the browser settings. I think because that's living in the browser settings, maybe on the Mac, Linux, and Windows version of the Chrome browser. But I'm hoping they pull that out of there and get that into the OS settings. Because on a Chrome OS device, the opportunity to look for updates, check for updates, or perform updates should be in the hardware OS settings, not the browser settings. But other than that, check out split settings, and I think you're really going to enjoy what that does with your settings. So that's it. Those are my favorite OS flags, or my favorite Chrome OS flags, I should say. I'd love to know what yours are. You know what you can do is you can send me an email and let me know, and you can send that email to Steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com. And I would also ask that you tweet your favorites with the hashtag #PixelPowerPodcast. Or better yet, do what Joanna did at the beginning of the episode. Go to the Anchor page, and I have a link in the show notes, and leave a voicemail message, and you too could be on an episode of the Pixel Power Podcast, just like Joanna. Joanna, we're going to make you a star. Again, I really thank you for leaving that comment. It was so fun to get that notification, and you are the first person to do so. So hopefully you are the first of many, which, Joanna, that makes you a trendsetter. In this week's addendum, we have a few items to cover. The first thing I always like to do is I like to talk about the feedback or corrections from the last show. No real feedback concerning the episode about the Pixel Book versus the Pixel Slate, although I did have a chance to share that episode with a colleague who was trying to decide whether he wanted the Pixel Book or the Pixel Slate. If you listen to the last episode, you know I'm conflicted, but I do want to say I've continued to use it since I published that episode last week, I do still continue to grab my Pixel Slate and head out the door. As a matter of fact, it is the Pixel Slate that's in front of me right now, not my Pixel Book. Having said that, yesterday I was spending most of the morning over coffee preparing this episode, the show notes, and I found myself on the Pixel Book. So let me just say, I love both of these devices. I still can't decide, but I am still leaning towards the Pixel Slate, if you were curious. In living a Pixel-powered life, a few things I want to share for you. I finally had a chance to try out the new Android Auto. If you've been listening to the show, you know I've had a lot of frustrations with Android Auto on my Pixel 3 XL. It will not work in my Honda Civic. I mentioned before that my wife's Nexus 4 would work in Android Auto in the Civic. And then I remembered every other day, I have an old Nexus 6. The old Nexus 6 is a beautiful device. It's a large screen. The hardware's aged quite a bit. It's only, I think, got 2 gigabytes of RAM, so it slows down regularly. But one of the things I've done with my old Nexus 6 is I plugged in a Google Fi SIM card, which are free for those of you that did not know that. If you're on Google Fi and you have a device, you can get a Google Fi SIM card and plug that in. And what it'll do is it'll just share the data with, for instance, in my case, the Pixel 3 XL. So I decided to break out the old Nexus 6. Again, had the Google Fi SIM card in there. I plugged it into the Honda, and after a little bit of messing around with some settings, I got it to work, and I finally got to experience the new Android Auto. I really like the new Android Auto. I like the quick access to the applications. I think the interface is smoother. I even noticed that it worked extremely well on my old Nexus 6 phone. I am considering just leaving that Nexus 6 phone plugged in. My only concern with doing that, though, is it doesn't keep that device charged when the car is just sitting. So if the car is in the garage for a couple days, which it could be, then the battery could go dead, and then I could start a drive and I would have to wait for the battery to get to a certain level before it would even kick on. So I don't know of a way to keep that charged without unplugging it and plugging it in. So I'll be messing around with that. But again, I am excited that I did get a chance to try out the new Android Auto finally. I can't wait to figure out what's going on with this Pixel 3 so I can just use it. This week, I also believe that my TicWatch battery is done. After 2.5 years of service, I used to get full days out of my TicWatch. I'm only getting 3/4 days out, so about 5 o'clock, it's dying on me. That just will not do. I'm either going to do some research to see if this is a problem, see if I can get a battery change, or I'm going to have to get a new Wear OS watch. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I'm hoping maybe I've got an app that's gone rogue. I might consider trying resetting the watch, getting rid of a couple of Wear OS applications, and we'll see how it goes. But I'll keep you apprised of my TicWatch battery issue. I seem to be having a lot of issues here with hardware. I'm not sure what's going on. And this next thing, I am so excited to tell you about this. I have hinted on occasion that I am also a Mac user. As a matter of fact, as I record this, I am sitting at a Mac with two monitors attached to a Mac Mini. It has Audacity running on one monitor. I've got my show notes on another one. And I love a Mac. I've used a Mac for years. I do not have a Mac laptop that I take with me. I gave my old MacBook to my wife. She uses that because I really like Chrome OS when I'm out and about. But one of the tools that I used on my Mac just came to Chrome OS via the Chrome browser extension, and that is Text Expander. If you've not used Text Expander, you basically type a few keys and a bunch of other things spit out. I have, for instance, a couple of short snippets that when I type, for instance, at PPP, it will put in www.pixelpowerpodcast.com. So it types all that out with a simple at PPP. And that's very handy. I have a lot of those little snippets created. I was so happy to see it come to Chrome OS. I had been exploring a lot of different other text expansion options that were available. None of them were great. One was starting to be okay. It did require a monthly fee, though, to have a certain number of snippets. Well, now I can just have the $20 per year subscription to Text Expander. That will work on my Mac. That will work on my Chrome, all my Chrome OS devices. If they would come out with an Android keyboard application or an application for Android for the Pixel phone, I'd be in heaven. And I think we're getting there. And this is one of the things I'm really enjoying about Chrome OS. There's so many devices out there. Some of these folks who have these wonderful apps can't ignore Chrome OS anymore. They know there is a market to bring those services over. So we can expect more on that. I'll probably do more on Text Expander a little bit later. If you are interested in an episode on Text Expander, let me know. And let me know if you have any other options to Text Expander that you think I should discuss. I already mentioned in the episode about virtual desks, and they have arrived, and I have been using them regularly. And again, the option to activate those is simply three-finger swipe up on the touchpad. Now, what's very interesting, what I did find out on the Pixel Book, if you take four fingers and you swipe left and right on the touchpad, you can switch between those virtual desks. Now, what's interesting is you can't do that on the Pixel Slate. So I'm running the same beta channel on both those devices. The four fingers swipe left and right works on the Pixel Book. It does not on the Pixel Slate. I'll keep you up to date as to what, but that is, it's a little frustrating because I like swiping between those virtual desks and I can't do that on my Pixel Slate. I want to talk about a project I created with a colleague at work. One of the things we were trying to do at work was trying to create a scorecard or a way we could track our metrics. And specifically, most of you know I work at a college. One of the things that we're trying to track is enrollment and retention. And we wanted to find some way to share our goals with the entire college. And I'm a big fan of Edward Tufte. If you're not familiar with Tufte, look him up. But one of the things he suggests is PowerPoint presentations are fine, but a 17 by 11 sheet of paper can get so much information because of the resolution of a page that you can do some amazing things. So what we did is we created a scorecard that's 17 by 11 that includes data information. Now you're probably wondering, what in the world does this have to do with living a pixel powered life? Well, let me tell you what we did. We actually did this in Google Slides. So on a Google Slides page, brand new file, we created a template that's 17 by 11. Now the great thing about it being Google Slides is it can be an electronic and it can be a printed version. And then what we did is we created these visuals, these wonderful visuals that are controlled by a Google Sheet. So we add values in the sheet and the visual on the Google slide changes. So anybody can have access to the most up-to-date scorecard by simply visiting the Google slide. And the sheets are designed, the Google sheets are designed such that whoever owns that data, they have access to and they can update that on a regular basis. So we've got that connection between the sheets and the slides. The folks that own the sheet data can't change the Google Slides directly, the design, but they can change the data in the sheets and then the Google Slide gets updated. Oh, and by the way, just out of curiosity, did you know that if you connect a USB-C cable from your Pixel Book to your computer, it will try and charge it in low power mode? You probably knew that. What I did learn though is unfortunately you cannot transfer files through that USB connection. I wish you could do that. I would have loved to have plugged in my Pixel Slate to a PC, which is what I was trying to do to see if I could see the actual file system, and I could not. Just a little tip for you out there. This is the week a lot of folks are headed back to school. I would be interested to know how many listeners are either educators or students. If you'd like to share that information with me, send me an email. Let me know you're out there. And I think it would just be interesting to know who our listening audience is. And if there's enough of you, maybe we'll talk about some other ways that we can use our Pixel Book and Pixel Slate to get the most out of our educational endeavors. Regardless, best of luck to all of you that are headed back to school this week or probably have already started. And let's wind down the episode with just a couple of non-Pixel related comments. First thing, I am going to thin out the social media presence. I have way too many social media sites. I am leaning towards Twitter only for now, maybe keeping Instagram, but I'm thinking about killing the Google group. Also the Facebook page, because there's no traffic there. Would love to know what your preference is. Again, send me some feedback using a couple of the methods I've talked about. Would like to know, how can we better connect online? And lastly, for this episode, I mentioned in the last episode that you could win a Don't Get Too Excited prize pack if you could tell me what was being shown specifically and exactly in the image in the show notes. So I've replaced that image back into these show notes, but a prize pack is available if you can tell me specifically. I had somebody get, close, but not close enough. And I'm looking for specifics. So go take a look at it. Send me some feedback. And if you get close enough to where I think you know what you're talking about, then I will send you a Don't Get Too Excited prize pack. That concludes this episode, which is number 32 of the Pixel Power Podcast. And as you know, I've gone to a publication schedule of every 2 weeks, although this last 3 weeks I was able to slip in an episode about the Pixel Slate versus the Pixel Book. But we'll probably be back on a two-week cycle, so I'll be back in episode 33 with another of my faves episode. We have two more to go. I hope you're enjoying these. I'm getting some feedback that says you are. And if you have any recommendations or suggestions, always, as always, feel free to reach out. Let me know you're out there. I really enjoy hearing from you. Until next time, hope you're having a great pixel-powered life.